It's our last day broadcasting from WLRN here in Miami, Florida. And before we hit the road, we had to talk to the man in charge of this town. Francis Suarez was elected mayor of Miami in November of last year. Like Puerto Rico, Florida was also hit hard by hurricanes in 2017. I talked to Mayor Suarez about his vision of a sustainable Miami, and that includes addressing everything from gun violence to water resiliency.
One of the issues that continues to come up is Miami going to be underwater? And so, you know, my predecessor intelligently found a way to brand that concept, and he branded it as Miami Forever. He went to the voters and asked the voters to invest in themselves, to invest in their future in the form of a what they call a general obligation bond, which means debt that the voters incur on their own behalf. And it passed, particularly after Irma, which we experienced significant flooding. We experienced storm surge anywhere from 4 to 8 feet, depending on the area. Areas like Brickell flooded 4.5 blocks in to a depth of anywhere from 3 to 4 feet. Thankfully, the floodwaters receded quickly. Within 24 hours, the water had receded. However, it really left an indelible impression, I think, on all Miamians that, hey, you know, forget about this macro concept and how it's going to affect us in the future. Let's talk about the present. What's happening now? So we have to adjust. And I think part of that investment from our own residents, which is something that I'm very proud of our residents for, which is a $200 million reinvestment in ourselves, is to project and counter brand this notion that we are not going to be resilient, that we're not going to deal with water in the way that we dealt with wind post Hurricane Andrew in 1992, where we became, I think, the world's most wind resilient city because of our building codes. And now I think we have a new challenge, which is to become water resilient.
How do you define resilience? Because that's a word that we're hearing a lot these days. What's your definition for that?
I have a very broad definition of resiliency. I mean, some people focus only on climatic resiliency. I look at resiliency as a concept of what does a city need to do to be prepared for threats? And what kind of a threat do we face? Like every other city, we not only have to be water resilient, but we have to have an energy grid that's resilient. And then, you know, you talk about economic resiliency. One of the things that you see across major cities in the United States is that there's a renaissance for the cities. I think people are moving to urban areas more and more for a variety of reasons. But, you know, what we want to avoid is some of the mistakes that some cities have made by creating a two-class system, you know, the haves and the have-nots. It's a challenge, but I think some of the industry leaders in the economy are now starting to understand that if you don't pay attention to every member of the community, you're going to create problems downstream.
So one of the things that we're hearing in our reporting is that there are opportunities for those who own homes, perhaps in these neighborhoods, largely black and brown neighborhoods, largely poor or communities, but they're higher up, so their land is more desirable.
Sure.
We're hearing about some predatory behaviors, perhaps, some homeowners who are being incentivized to sell, homeowners who are being told they are in foreclosure even before they themselves know that they're in foreclosure, so that they can essentially get these properties freed up. Is there a way to sort of mitigate that?
Yeah, I think there's two ways. One is certainly they can reach out to our office. And if it's something predatory in nature, like what you describe, we will usually refer them and we fund Legal Services of Greater Miami, which is a nonprofit legal community that will help represent some of those owners. But the second part of it, I think, is almost as important as the first, which is that with this Miami Forever bond, and I have to give Chairman Ken Hardeman a lot of credit, he has focused on resiliency-related initiatives to help keep people in their homes. What do I mean by that? Well, there may be people that have been living in their home for 30, 40, 50 years that haven't been able to put storm shutters or haven't been able to put impact windows, or maybe even their roof is 20, 25, 30 years old. And so we're going to create a set of economic grants through this bond initiative where people can tap into that money to refurbish their house rather than building new affordable housing. We want people who have invested from a multi-generational perspective, kept their properties, and some of the ethnic diversity and culture that we have, we want to preserve that to the maximum extent possible by implementing common sense initiatives that will allow people to potentially stay in their homes in a more resilient structure that can deal with some of the climatic issues and don't feel the need to have to sell.
Let's shift gears for a minute here. We, at The Takeaway, we're here this week reporting on a number of issues. We're also talking to students, particularly young Black students here in the area, who in Liberty City, for example, who say that they are concerned not about school shootings per se, but about gun violence in their communities. Yeah. And in fact, for many of them, the school is the safe space.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? Because we're not talking about, you know, I think you're in favor of an assault weapons ban, for example, but these are largely handguns and criminality.
Yeah, I'll give you a perfect example. The city of Miami, since January 1st, has had 27 homicides. So almost double the number of homicides that unfortunately occurred that one day in the Marjory Stoneman Douglas. So the reality that some of these kids are dealing with is an everyday reality. And hopefully will never be a mass shooting, God forbid, in the city of Miami. But the experience that they are experiencing is a very real experience. It's a very traumatic experience. And I could tell you, just about 2 months ago, we had two very traumatic incidents, one right after the other, in an area called Liberty Square, a public housing project, where one of them was a family dispute where someone pulled out a gun and a four-year-old was killed. The other one was the following Sunday, four kids were hanging out in the porch of their home, and one, maybe two, maybe three people came and ambushed them. 26 gunshots, killed two, wounded two, you know, and thankfully those two survived. But that is very real. What we've done since then, we've created a lot of cooperation between a variety of different law enforcement levels. I feel very fortunate we have a great police chief who understands the sensitivities. We've increased our presence in some of our communities that are having more difficulties by a 200 to 300% ratio. And they are definitely not just like stopping people. It's an interactive process. It's about, hey, we want you to get to know us. We want to get to know you. What are your needs? So, you know, we're trying to promote initiatives that work, and it's been very successful.
Mayor Suarez, you have a lot on your plate, but we appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us today and to our listeners. And thank you.
Anytime.
Francis Suarez has served as mayor of Miami since 2017.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.